This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Presentation will come to order. Good morning to the internet listeners, and welcome to all of you in the audience. Make sure to turn your cell phones off. I'm just checking myself as well. And I'm like, geez, is my cell phone off? And make sure your cell phones are off. And please do sign in at the back of the room there by the podium if you will be presenting today. And we have two bills on the docket, House Bill 1002 and House Bill 1006. At this time, I'll have Secretary will call the roll.
Elliot?
Here.
Ironcloud, Kopp is excused. Lang,
here.
McLaughlin,
here.
Nostrop,
here.
Russell,
here.
Shrimp,
here.
Steele,
here.
Street,
here.
Vercio,
here.
Junkie,
here.
And Krebs.
Here.
We have a quorum. Quorum is present. We'll have a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Junkie for approval of minutes, seconded by Representative Steele. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Approval minutes passed. Yes, Representative Street.
Thank you. I think it's appropriate to note the changing of the guard here in Transportation Committee. I don't think any committee in the past has been stamped by its chairman quite as much as Transportation has, and we are now blessed with a new chairman. And on behalf of the rest of the committee, I welcome you. I look forward to working with you, and we look forward to your leadership.
Well, thank you, Representative Street. That's funny that for those of you in the audience that know Gordon Peterson, he was a staple to the word transportation, and I can only fill those big shoes. So I've got a lot of talking and walking to do with those shoes. You know what? We should do some pages here. Okay. Who do we, Miranda from Aberdeen, please stand. And Cortland from Brookings. All right. And anybody in the audience from a school? Anybody? Nope. All right. Representative Junkie.
Personal privilege, please. I'm fortunate to have one of my esteemed constituents here, and Kidner before I came in, Susan Knipling from Gan Valley is in the audience. She and I have a good relationship professionally. She is a member of the Game Fish and Parks Commission. Thanks for being here, Susan.
Thank you for being here. All right, move into the consideration of the bills. We'll start with House Bill 1002 to provide for the transfer of certain monies for the Department of Game Fish and Parks to the County Road and Bridge Fund. We have Representative Junkie as our sponsor. At this time, we'll open the floor to proponent testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Representative Kent Junkie from Vivian, District 21 representative. It's the counties of Jones, Lyman, Buffalo, Brule, and Charles Mix. More miles of Interstate and more of Missouri River. I always like that little plug for the internet. Thank you, Madam Chair. And 1002 comes from the summer study. We historically have sunset agency review committees that look at the agencies. And fortunately, I was assigned by the e-board to the one that looked at the Game Fish and Parks Agency Review Committee. We have brought forth various pieces of legislation out of that committee for the legislature to look at. Madam Chair, I have an amendment that I was made aware of, and I'll have the pages distributed, and it'll kind of clarify some of the concerns that the department has, legitimate concerns, and I'll give you latitude if we can talk about the amendment and at what time.
That would be fine, Representative Junkie. I think for the committee's sake, that give you the latitude to address the amendment and at least have it for discussional purposes.
So can I discuss the amendment, ma'am, before
yes.
Movement? Okay.
Wait until everybody gets it here, though.
Okay.
Give us a chance to read it over just a second. Anybody in the audience that would like to have an amendment as well, make sure they raise your hand.
No interest in this bill, so I didn't think anybody in the audience would want it.
We have just a few people here today.
You tell me when to go, ma'am, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Amendment 1002A, basically after we had this drafted and submitted from the summer study, made aware of as the prime sponsor that the verbiage in there is very open-ended and could include the Department of Parks, where we would be trying to access some of their funds. I'm hoping this addresses that concern where we put hunting licenses in there. I preferred not to have fishing licenses included in this transfer for the county and road, township road fund. And so I was trying to narrow it down as specific as I can. So with that amendment, hopefully that'll relieve that concern. And I'll go into the how the 1002 is drafted. Section 1 is creating in the state treasury a mechanism to access some money for the county and road county and township road fund. It's just the mechanism. We're not accessing actual dollars from licensing fee. It's just based on the number of licenses sold by the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, the Game Division. Section 2, the monies deposited in the county road fund need not be collected as license fees or surcharges, is line 8 and 9. And they may allocate or transfer any monies under this authority into the purpose or may institute fee increases or surcharges at its discretion. And then Section 3 is how the committee this summer kind of with their, not without micromanaging everything, how they wanted some of it distributed, basically on the big game licenses, and then and that is not restricted to Section 2 there, parentheses 2 is a non-specific geographic area, equally to the county road, but county road and bridge funds of each of the six counties. So that's the mechanics of it, and I'll try and go through my interpretation of the summer study. Parks, I felt, got a fairly easy ride through it. It seems like if you look at, I'm not bringing this out of the left field by myself. This came through a hearing, 5-day hearing of the agency review committee of where as the committee, saw there were shortfalls in the Game, Fish, and Parks, the Game Division, and they spent most of their time before us, the game portion of it. So, and this has been a concern over, I've been here, this is my 10 years ago I got here, this is my 9th year, and it seems like, fortunately, unfortunately, when we go out and try and sell ourselves as candidates, pheasant season's going on, and that's a big thing that people are concerned about, the wear and tear on the roads, and everybody sharing in the upkeep in them. And a history, we were made aware of, there was some transfer of some monies that this will jeopardize back in 1999, that now with Madam Chair's, when we had the informational meeting the other day, the $1.033 million that was negotiated back in 1999 that's transferred from the Department of Highways to the counties on behalf of the Game, Fish, and Parks. And that was a deal cut in 1999. If you want a quick history lesson, I'll try to do it. There's testifiers that will do a better job. This is what I've learned in the last few days. That's based on the 1997 licensing. 10% of licenses prior to that audit were going to the counties and townships. Got in trouble with the Dingell Johnson funds, I believe is the proper term for them, and they had to find a diversion and still maintain the financial responsibility that the Game, Fish, and Parks has committed to the counties and townships. So the 1.03 was the rate at that time of 10% of the licenses that were sold and where they were at. So with that, I'd rather the testifiers and some of the other summer study committees give the committee their interpretation of where this bill is going. And Madam Chair, I'd ask for just a brief rebuttal after maybe an opponent or two.
Granted. At this time, are there further proponents to House Bill 1002? Further proponents to House Bill 1002? Good morning. Please state your name for our committee.
Yes.
Welcome.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dick Howard, and I'm a registered lobbyist with the South Dakota Association of Towns and Townships. We rise to support this bill in concept. There's no doubt that counties and townships have huge needs on their for maintaining their local roads, and a lot of there are roads that are open and maintained primarily for providing access for hunting and fishing. And there are times when the hunters do tear up these roads and cause damage. As you are aware, the local government funding for roads and bridges, both counties and townships, comes almost solely from license plate fee increases. So we have a lot of out-of-state hunters who come in. They're important to the overall economy of the state. They pay sales tax, they pay fuel tax, but they don't register their vehicles in the counties in which they're hunting. Also within the state, there are hunters that come from various parts of the state to other counties to hunt, and also they don't contribute to the maintenance of the roads in that area. As part of the interim study that was done this summer on highway needs and funding, there was a needs survey was prepared that looked at the needs on both the state highway system and the local government systems. There was an unmet need of over $100 million per year identified on the local government roads, townships, counties, and cities. So the need is there. I think that this brings up a public policy issue that I think since the state, the hunting is so important to the state's economy, and they do pay gas tax, they do pay sales tax, that the public policy should be that the state probably has a responsibility to help local governments maintain the roads to provide this access for the hunting. That was recognized in 1999 when, as Representative Junkie said, there was some when the funding was removed from counties and townships that they were getting for selling the hunting licenses in the county courthouse. Basically, they quit doing that. But there was money to replace that taken from the state highway fund. And so I think the legislature 10 years ago recognized that there was a responsibility for the state to contribute to those local roads, and that was honored in the Senate Bill 233 that provided that funding 10 years ago. And I think that same need exists, and this may not be the correct funding source, but I think the policy is correct that the state should help maintain those roads. Oh, and one other thing, if this bill should pass, currently the way it's drafted, all of the money would go to the county road and bridge fund. We would like to see some of it go to townships also.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Howard. Are there further proponent testimony for House Bill 1002? Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1002? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Betty Olson, representative from District 28B. And I won't speak to this very much, but I was on that summer study committee, and I had the two highway superintendents from Harding County and from Perkins County in my district tell me just exactly what it cost us for the opening week in deer season. The opening week in deer season up in our area was a muddy mess. And those of us that live there, when the roads are that bad, we try to stay off of them. But the hunters only have a certain time frame that they can hunt in. It's not their fault, but they have to come out and use those roads in our area during hunting season. And in Harding County, they didn't need to do quite as much work on the roads after that first weekend, but it cost them about $8,000 for just blading the roads back so we could drive on them. In Perkins County, it cost over $23,000, which is a big chunk of their annual budget. And historically, there was money that came from Game and Fish. 10% of every license that was sold within that county, back when the county sold the licenses, came back to the Road and Bridge Fund to help with this very problem. That is no longer the case, but we still have the problem with the roads, and we would like to have this addressed. We need the money. Everybody's hurting, but we're really hurting on the local level. So that's all I have to say. I'll stand by if anybody has any questions later.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Any further proponent testimony to House Bill 1002? Last call, House Bill 1002, proponent testimony. Seeing none, I'll open it up to opponent testimony on House Bill 1002. Opponent testimony for House Bill 1002. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Fonk. I'm the Secretary for Game, Fish, and Parks here in South Dakota. I rise in opposition to this bill, and for what I think are two very good reasons. I first would like to thank Representative Junkie for his proposed amendment, which I think does help clarify the intent of the bill and its target. It doesn't, unfortunately, change our position on the bill. However, we still are opposed to that. The two reasons that I think you should defeat this bill are as follows. If adopted, South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks and our citizens will lose over $10 million in federal excise tax monies that are collected on their behalf. As probably most of you know, our wildlife division is entirely funded by the sale of hunting and fishing licenses, as well as this excise tax money that is collected by the federal government on purchases made by sportsmen for all of the equipment that they use in pursuing hunting and fishing. That gets then apportioned back to the states based on the sale and numbers of hunting and fishing licenses that are sold in that state the previous year. This past year in South Dakota, we received a little over $10 million in federal excise tax monies that gets then used for fish and wildlife management projects. There are currently in existence both federal and state statutes that require that all of these fees, both the license fees and the excise taxes that are collected, that all of that money be used exclusively for the purposes of management of the fish and wildlife resources. At the end of the summer study committee that Representative Junkie referenced, we had the draft of this bill that you're looking at today, and as a consequence had time. I did forward that bill to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and ask their opinion about whether or not this use would be considered by them as a diversion or an inappropriate use of the monies that are collected for sportsmen or from sportsmen on behalf of fish and wildlife. I did receive that answer in writing about a week and a half ago, and the answer is that yes, if this bill were to pass and the state of South Dakota were to use this money in the fashion it's outlined, it would be considered by the service to be an inappropriate, perhaps illegal, I guess, if you look at statute, but certainly an inappropriate use of the money, and they would withhold future excise tax contributions to us, as well as require repayment for taxes that would be used once this bill became, that we may have received previous, once this bill became law. The reality of the loss of this federal funding, some examples of how this money is used. It's used, a year ago we used $1.5 million for fishing access maintenance and development. 900,000 of it was used for fish management surveys. 825,000 was for operation of our state fish hatcheries. 1.8 million for habitat and management work on game production areas. 1.6 million of this money was used to pay private landowners to gain access to their lands through our walk-in programs. 600,000 of it was used to conduct wildlife surveys. I know some folks may think that this, at times we get threatened by different entities and some folks might view that as an idle threat in terms of what the service said. I would like to point out to you, just for your information, that the state of Illinois did this a year ago. They made a decision to divert funds from the game fund to use, in their case, to use for park operations. The service notified them ahead of time that if they did that, they would be forced to repay excise taxes that they had already received, and they would no longer be eligible to continue to receive their rightful share of those monies. They went ahead and passed that bill and did divert the funding, and the state of Illinois now has lost. In their case, it was about $13 million, if I remember correctly, and they are required to pay back that previous year's apportionment. So it's not an idle threat, and it's certainly of grave concern to the department and I think to all of our sportsmen who are paying these taxes with the notion that they're going to come back to the state to be used for fish and game management. I won't dwell too much on the other point because I think it's already been mentioned by some of the previous speakers. I think we're in agreement that hunters and anglers do pay their fair share. We obviously have to buy fuel and gasoline to get to the places where we hunt and to pull our boats to places where we fish. In the course of pursuing that, now I understand with the amendment, this would just apply to hunting licenses. Based on some U.S. Census surveys that they make in terms of how much driving and how much gas hunters use, statistically, we would estimate there's probably a 13 million gallons of gasoline are used here in South Dakota each year in pursuit of hunting. So you can do the math in terms of multiplying how much gas tax that's generating for road use maintenance. And I also understand that not all of that money is made available to townships, and there may be a structural problem about how to get that money back to the townships where there is a great need. But since 1999, each year, a little over $1 million is transferred back to counties to account for what in 99 would have been perceived as a loss of revenue to townships for road and bridge maintenance. And that continues on today. In fact, the last apportionment of that out of the highway fund was made about 2 weeks ago to the counties. So for those two reasons, I would urge the committee to resist this bill. And hopefully encourage you to find another way to provide the assistance that the townships need. Thank you. I take any questions.
Further, I'm going to have further opponent testimony, and then we'll allow the rebuttal and then open up for community questions at that time. So further, thank you, Secretary Vonk. So at this time, further opponent testimony on House Bill 1002. Further opponent testimony for House Bill 1002.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Chris Hessel, and I'm a lobbyist for the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. I'll be brief. We oppose this bill for the reasons that Secretary Vonk covered. I think the sportsmen and women of this state do pay their fair share for the road use they do use, and I urge you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hessel. Further opponent testimony for House Bill 1002. Good morning.
Morning. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Robert Barden. I live here in Pierre, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Bow Hunters Incorporated. And I will not take a lot of your time by repeating what has previously been said. We feel it's an unfair tax. We feel we pay our share, and we certainly would not want to see the Game Fish and Park Department crippled by the loss of in excess of $10 million. So South Dakota Bow Hunters urges you to oppose this bill.
Thank you. I wanted to just clarify there. Sorry, it was Bow Hunters, correct?
Right.
Yes. Bow. All right. Further opponent testimony. Further opponent testimony. To House Bill 1002. Seeing none, I will allow for a rebuttal by our Representative Junkie, the prime sponsor, at this time, a couple minutes there, and then at that point we'll close public testimony and move to committee question discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Ken Junkie. Could I have the pages distributed another little informational thing on current statute? I got 30 copies here, whoever wants one. You give one to Secretary Vonk right away, please. I have a good relationship with Secretary Vonk, and we've had good back and forth through the summer study. I told him this morning, at least I wanted him to know I was here for the session, so I introduced this bill. And he's very honest. It does, if in his interpretation it's going to take license fees, money, and transfer it to the county, we're in violation of and jeopardizing that $8 to $10 million. And I know we want to do that in the current economic climate. We tried drafting it in a way. Is there ways that they could get around it? Probably. You know, they did it in 99. We can do it again. But this is just what I feel is an adjustment. What I passed out, I'll try and use that for my rebuttal. It's current statute 41-4-3. This was aware when I was researching this bill since we got to session. They are now taking $3 from the sale of each non-resident small game license and placing a fund to be known as the Land Acquisition Development Fund. Why is that important? During the campaign this fall, I got a call from a constituent, and a red flag went up instantly. The Game Fish and Parks is bidding, and this is in October, a mile and a half grading project for a township in my district, and they wanted to get it done this fall. Yeah, and you know, the red flag goes up and says, where is the game division getting enough money to do a mile and a half, a mile and a quarter grading project? And it never did come. Actually, to back up now that I got more information on it, the Game Fish and Parks game division was not bidding it, but they were going to contribute to some access areas. So they were going to do a grant money to help the township do the grading project. So I got misinformation. But I'll hopefully when I get up there, I'll be able to have Secretary Vaughn come up. Maybe I'm in the wrong statute or whatever, but they are doing projects right now. This is some of the core land. They didn't have access to it. But I'm also saying that they're also going out there and helping. At least they're showing an effort. But I still think if they can go out there and do a grading project or do grant money to grading project, if they can divert and get around with and use licensing money for such a purpose, they could do the road and bridge fund if they so desire. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. At this time, I will close public testimony and open for committee questions. Representative Russell.
Madam Chairman, I have a few questions for Secretary Vonk.
Secretary Vonk.
There was some talk about the fairness of There was some discussion about fairness in terms of the disproportionate amount of taxes that these folks pay. I'm a little bit interested in, you had given us some demographic information. I'm curious as to, as it compares to the average South Dakotan, what the demographic information is in terms of household income for those folks who are out there, you know, on average hunting. Do you have that kind of information?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
No, I don't, Representative Russell.
Because from my perspective, those folks, and I'm one of them, I have a hunting license. I have a son that just turned 12. And we're getting into that process. And it is a very enjoyable experience that we have here in South Dakota, especially because of all the public land in my area. But when I am out running around the country, I notice there are quite a few rigs that look pretty expensive out there. And that these folks have a higher average income, at least that's my perception, than the people that I represent. When I first went door to door, when I ran for state's attorney in Hot Springs, I couldn't believe how impoverished some people live. And as a county employee and someone has had to deal with some of the difficulties that we've had in terms of funding the bridge repair and the roads and having a lot of low-maintenance roads in the county. This appears to me to be something that would be rather helpful. Now, you had also stated that there was $1 million this past year that went back to counties. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, how is that distributed, and where does that money come from?
That, Madam Chair.
Proceed.
That money comes from the state highway fund, and this was the bill that passed back in 1999. At the time, there was a decision made that the department would no longer be able to transfer, that was at that time about $1 million, to counties based on the fact that the counties at that time were providing a service to the department in terms of selling a hunting and fishing license on behalf of the department. And that was the nature of that relationship. At that time, that relationship changed to where the counties no longer sold those licenses. And it was a determination, again, as Representative Junkie said at that time, that to continue to transfer that money out of the game fund would be considered a diversion again. And at that time, we would have lost that excise tax money that I referenced. So there was a formula. It was basically frozen in time. I believe the statute calls for the transfer of this slightly over $1 million, and it was based on the amount of money that was transferred at that time, and that hasn't changed to my knowledge.
And how is it distributed to the counties? What's the percentage, and do each county get an equal share, or is it based upon roads, or?
Madam Chair.
Proceed.
The funds were distributed up until that time based on the number of licenses that were sold in a county. My understanding is that same relationship has carried forward. In other words, the amounts were fixed based on license sales at the time. They were probably using that 98 or 97 database at that time. So, for example, Representative Russell, in Fall River County, your county has received a little over $13,000 each year since then.
Out of a million, is that correct?
Out of a million. Representative Junkies County, Lyman County, receives $27,000. Again,
how much does Minnehaha receive?
Minnehaha County gets almost $95,000.
Now, this $10 million that we're going to lose, that's based upon the way in which the federal law is put together. Is that correct?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, proceed.
Thank you. Yes. Basically, the federal law, and we have a state statute that also supports this, basically says that these excise taxes and license fees are collected, they're pooled into a game fund, and those funds are limited in their use for fish and game management purposes.
And what percentage of your budget would that $10 million be?
It's probably about 30% roughly of the Wildlife Division budget, annual, maybe slightly less than that.
And overall, how much would it be?
Overall, excuse me.
Of game, fish, and parks.
Well, you had the parks, but we're probably overall a little less than, probably 15%, 15 to 20%.
Okay. Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Secretary, it was for, imagine that for you.
Yes.
We have a good relationship, committee.
Yes,
he's smiling, I'll smile, and we'll be friends after this, too. This is based on, my first question is, was I off base with the grant money that you were going to do in the 10 Challenge-Ship, and did I use the wrong statute?
Proceed.
No, you're not off base in the funding that we're using for that doesn't necessarily come from this land acquisition account, okay? But having said that, we cooperate with townships and potentially counties. It's mostly townships because they tend to be gravel-type road situations. We cooperate all the time on projects that provide or improve access to either game production areas or fish ramps, boat launch sites, those kinds of things. So it's not inappropriate for us to provide some of that money for improvements to those roads that directly benefit the sportsmen who are paying the taxes.
You may.
So, Secretary Vonk, this is access area, public access areas that you're trying to improve access for the sportsmen of the state, correct?
In most cases, these are cooperative projects. Most townships, most counties have heavy equipment. What they lack is material. So oftentimes we'll enter into an agreement where we'll buy a few loads of gravel and they'll agree to spread it with their equipment.
Another quick follow-up.
Thank you for the follow-up motion, or excuse me, that motion comment.
So obviously you're not in violation of the federal funds by doing a diversion from license fees to do small projects.
Secretary.
We would be in violation of that statute if it were a diversion. In this case, these are not diversions because they are these funds are being used directly to benefit wildlife management and the sportsmen and their access to it.
Any further questions, Representative Junkie?
One
more.
And Secretary Vonk, I made you aware of this before we walked into. The 1.03 is based on, I believe, 97. You know, it was a deal cut prior to 99 was when the deal. But it was 10% of hunting licenses sales, I believe. Could you enlighten us, and hopefully I'm not catching you completely off guard, what 10% would be in current day's dollars for licensing, for hunting purposes?
Representative. Yes, and thank you for the advance warning of the question. I did check prior to the committee meeting, and we currently realize about $24 million from the sale of hunting licenses alone.
Further questions of the committee, just a reminder, make sure that all questions and follow-up questions are directed through the chair for efficiencies, please. Representative Verschio.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to direct a question on license numbers to Secretary Vonk.
Go ahead.
How many hunting licenses are sold in Perkins County? Do you know?
Unfortunately.
Sorry, this just came up.
Right? I don't know that off the top of my head.
We
can certainly provide that information to you if you'd like to know.
Follow-up, Representative Verschio?
Please.
Granted.
I am an avid hunter in Perkins County and hunt there a lot, and I guess quick math would say we'd have to have 12,000 licenses sold there to pay back their $23,000, or almost that, a little bit more, to fix their roads. And I would guess that there are probably not 12,000 hunters that use Perkins County.
Question? Is there a question?
The question would be, where do we determine that pay? Are we looking at a direct payback per cost per county on this? And can we? Does the $2 make any sense if that's what we're trying to do?
Secretary Vonk, would you like to answer that question?
Madam Chair, no. I'm not sure I would like to answer it, but I'm not sure I understand it.
Representative Verschio, do you have anybody else that maybe you would want to ask in the audience that would be able to clarify that for you a little bit?
Well, I don't know if I do or not. No. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to get to or not? Is it, Representative, could I address the
yes.
question to Representative Junkie? Mm-hmm. Is the idea to directly repay the county dollar for dollar for, that's why I brought up the $23,000 in Perkins County, and I'm guessing I don't know that, obviously, that they don't sell that many licenses there to do that.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll take a stab at it, Representative. Perkins County, Deb Hilmer from the department did give us how this distributed prior to the meeting, because that's one of the requests I had. Perkins County in the current formula gets $10,000, just a little over $10,000. No, this bill does not dollar for dollar do all the. It's just an assistance. It's a show of appreciation, if you want to say it that we're going to sportsmen are going to carry their share for the rural township and county roads.
follow-up question, please?
You may.
What about the counties that have $1,000 worth of damage? Would they still get the $10,000 if that was the county that was affected?
Manager.
Go ahead.
Well, in the concurrent formula, yeah, all 66 counties get a share of it. Now, I could, you know, we didn't have copies for everybody. And this is the current formula, and they'll still get this ongoing from since 99 dollar amount from the 1.033 million that the Department of Transportation, but it's a set figure. And can I expand a little?
No, I'm not going to grant that. I'd like to just move on for further questions of the committee. I think we're going off a different path here. Any further questions of the committee of the sponsor or of the any proponent or opponent testimonies that you heard today? Further questions from the committee? At this time, I'll close questions of the committee. Oh, sorry, Representative Ironcloud.
Thank you very much. I'd like to say good morning to the listeners and our guests in the committee here. And Secretary, I just had some questions or a question. You had given us some dollar amounts. What is the overall budget of the game, fish, and parks? And also, if you could briefly, for our listeners' sake, just briefly tell what your purpose is.
Secretary?
The purpose of the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is to protect, enhance, improve the fish and wildlife resources in the state of South Dakota, and manage and maintain for sustainable use its parks and recreation areas for the benefit of our citizens and visitors to the state.
Representative Ironcloud, did he answer both parts of your questions? The budget, I believe.
Excuse me, you didn't the budget?
Secretary?
Yeah. No. Madam Chair, the total budget is approximately $60 million. Representative.
Any further
Thank
questions?
Thank you very
much. Any further questions from the committee? If not, I'm going to close questions of committee and open up for committee discussion and or action. We do have a motion, or excuse me, we do not have a motion. We do have an amendment on the table here at this
Madam
time.
Chair.
Yes, Representative Steele.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that 1002A be, or the bill 1002 be amended with 1002A.
There's a motion on the floor for the amendment 1002 to be moved. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Russell for House Bill 1002 to be amended with 1002A. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Aye.
Virtue was an aye. Nay, excuse me. Can you repeat that, Virtue? We have 11 ayes and one nay. Amendment does pass for 1002A. So the bill now has an amendment on there. Is there further committee action?
Madam Chair.
Representative McLaughlin.
I move that we defer to the 41st day.
The motion is to defer House Bill 1002 to the 41st day. Is there
second?
Seconded by Representative Virtue. Is there any other further comments? No, you know what? There cannot be comments on deferred.
I understand the need for the roads to be improved. I just think that we need to come up with another source for these funds. I don't know that we need to jeopardize our federal funding and the other role of the game, fish, and parks in trying to provide for it through this means.
Comments from the chair is that the motion on the table is the House defer House Bill 1002 to the 41st day, and I would be supporting that motion just for the fact that the United States Department of Interior did write a letter after it was a clarification from our Secretary Vonk that if this provision, House Bill 1002, would be implemented, it would be considered by us as an expenditure that would constitute a diversion. And for that purpose, if it is a diversion and constituted as a diversion, it says the state would become ineligible to participate under the Act of that has been declared by the director. Until you have adequate legislative prohibitions are in place to prevent diversions of license revenues. So therefore, the fact that we would lose $10 million to the Game Fish and Parks funds, I would hope that we would support the House Bill 1002 be deferred. At this time, the secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Elliott.
Nay.
Ironclad.
Oh, wait. This is the motion. I'm going to restate the motion. The motion is to, you will vote yes in favor of a deferral, would be in favor of the deferral of to the 41st day. A no vote would be against the deferral of the 41st day.
Sorry, Madam Chair. Representatives Elliott.
A.
Or I.
Yay.
I. Okay. Ironclad.
Aye.
Cop is excused. Lang.
No.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
No.
No. Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Bercio.
Aye.
Junkie.
Nay.
Krebs.
Aye.
Seven yeas and five nays.
House Bill 1002 has been deferred to the 41st day by a 7-5 vote.
Thank you, committee. We will continue with our scheduled agenda and thank you, testifiers in the audience for coming. We will continue with House Transportation with House Bill 1006. Madam Chair.
Thank you, members of the committee. I'm Representative Chantel Krebs, District 10. House Bill 1006 is coming out of the Interim Committee of the South Dakota Highway Needs and Financing Study this summer. We did meet five times, but just to give you a little history and go back a little further, during the 2008 legislative session, I was one of the prime sponsors to recommend that we do propose an interim committee on studying the highway needs and financing, short-term and long-term. And the bill did not pass, but it was referred to the executive committee as one of the options that the executive board to choose to be one of the summer studies or interim committees that would be proposed. At that time, we did set up the committee. It was approved by the executive board to be one of those summer studies. The reason is about a year ago, we were noticing nationwide, actually about a year and a half ago, nationwide, the need for nationally, the states were looking at their revenue sources were completely and continuing to decline, and obviously costs were going up. And you could see where the federal highway safety or the federal highway trust funds were declining in revenues. They were trying to address the issue, and a lot of the states and the state legislatures across the United States were also recognizing the fact that they were going to have to address this. So with this, with the fact that we did meet five times this year, part of the study committee recognized that this was something that we were not going to solve in five times or 5 days or five times of a meeting. And we recognized that at that time this summer that we were going to have to look at short-term needs and short-term fixes, what we're going to have to do and address in this session or even in the coming session of 2010 to address the shortfall of approximately $200 million in the highway trust funds and the Department of Transportation shortfalls. And that includes, of course, state and local needs. And that's what we looked at this summer, is not just state needs, but we decided that we'd look at the local needs as well. What the committee decided and recommended, there's about 11 recommendations on the table, and you've all heard many of them being discussed amongst you and over the summer. But one of the three or four of the recommendations that came forth was to implement House Bill 1006 and recommend an act or another bill to create a long-term study. Now, a lot of the times, the legislative body is typically not in favor of doing study after study after study. That typically becomes something that we do not support. But we recognize the fact that this year and this summer we could not get everything addressed in that short a time frame. We recognized in 5 days when you had a stack of information about this high that we were not going to be able to solve everything at that time. And we also recognize that funding is going to continue to decline and sources of revenue is just not going to be there. On top of it, costs are going to continue to increase. So we recognize the fact that we're going to have to look at alternative ways to fund our highways or other options on top of the gas tax to fund our highways and other ways that we can become more efficient. Now, you heard on our first committee hearing how the efficiency factor has played in with our Department of Transportation taking about and cutting about 14.8% of their budget. And I commend the department for being proactive this past year and cutting 14.8% of the budget. That's showing efficiencies and showing where they are able to cut and make use of the federal funds for state projects and such. Again, what this is looking at is how are we going to continue to solve this problem, because we're going to have the same problem come up every year for the next 5 or 7 years out with just visiting with our Secretary Berquist. So we knew that we had to continue looking at this to solve, I don't want to say solve, but continue to look at other ideas and options out there, and we hopefully will be able to solve this long term. But this is going to give us that opportunity to continue looking at it. Again, this summer we only addressed the short-term needs. What this bill, House Bill 10606, does is give us the opportunity to look at the long-term issues and options available to finance our long-term, just to fund the Highway Trust Fund for the state of South Dakota. So at this point, I'd encourage a favorable consideration of House Bill 10006.
Further proponents for 1006. Welcome.
Thank you very much. At least, you know, in the other room, they've got that big flesh cam in front of you. My name is Steve Willard. I'm a registered lobbyist for the American Petroleum Institute. I'm the chairman of the Highway Users Conference, which is a group that's comprised essentially of all the Aggies, all of the contractors, all of the business groups, the counties, the townships, the municipal league. It's an eclectic collection of associations and builders. And we sat down and puzzled over this issue ourselves as well. And just like bringing our group to consensus is a challenge, as it is with yours, on one thing we agree, that there's no single solution to highway funding going forward. There's nothing we can do today. If a silver bullet arrived tomorrow, the landscape's going to change in 2 and 3 years ago, or 2 and 3 years from now. And not for any kind of rocket science reasons. I mean, we're increasing the mileage in our cars. We're going to electric cars. We're bumping the use of ethanol and biodiesel. Construction costs are going through the roof. We're looking at 2 lanes. We're looking at 4 lanes. You're looking at changing speed limits. We're doing private roads. We're doing toll roads. You've got every state that we're paying by mileage. Every state in the nation is literally wrestling with this issue. If you attend the national meetings, and I know some of you do, you sit down and you listen to the NCSL topics or the ALEC topics. This is an issue that's not unique to South Dakota. We build a system that the sale of gasoline essentially provides the cash to build the roads, and it drives the system. Well, as the sales change and those costs goes up, it just simply can't sustain it anymore. Now, we knew we didn't know the answer. But one thing that we could agree upon is that the only way to get our arms around that answer is to break it down into the things we can do today and the things that we're going to have to consider over the long term. And it's those long-term considerations for which this bill has been introduced, because we're going to have to step back and take a long, hard look at the big picture of how to finance our roads going forward, because there's an awful lot of variables that we can't define. And all we know is that they're changing, they'll continue to change. And this group is an astonishing place that does the right thing almost all of the time. And for you to take a thoughtful, hard, big-picture look at this issue, as Representative Krebs alluded, you're going to have to go through stacks of materials and get a sense of what's going on in some of the other states. And the only way to do that is with time and with thoughtful consideration, and our hope is that this bill becomes the vehicle for that consideration. So all I would pledge from the Highway Users Group is that we'll be there with you, that we'll try to be a resource, that whenever we can provide educational materials, we'll do it. If you need opinions, we'll give them to you, and that we're going to be sitting in this room with you for years trying to puzzle our way around this answer, because we're not going anywhere. So thanks for the time, and I would sure hope that this bill gets out of here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll take proponents and opponents and then questions. Further proponents of 1006. Welcome.
Welcome and good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Deb Mortensen. I'm the registered lobbyist for the Associated General Contractors Highway Heavy Utilities Chapter. We are also a proud member of the Highway Users Conference. AGC is here today in support of this bill. We're also here to pledge our support to a long-term, short-term solution to highway funding problems. Highway funding is very important to the state, and as several people before me have testified to, there simply wasn't time this summer to talk about some of the thorny issues that need to be discussed and solved. We have all sorts of alternative vehicles that are going to be coming on the market that are going to impact the gas tax that we so clearly depend on for funding our highways. We also need to have some real tough discussions about how we fund our highways. I mean, are we going to stay with the user model that we have right now, where we're basing most of our highway funding on fossil fuels? That's going to take some time to sort out. So we are supportive of you taking a deep breath and supporting this bill and being in it for the long haul. AGC is listed on that draft of that bill as a participant in this study, and we're ready to roll up our sleeves and go to work and help find a solution. But one thing that I wanted to leave with you is the short-term needs. Representative Krebs mentioned that they'd identified more than $250 million in short-term needs for both local and state governments. Those needs are very real. The longer that we ignore them and allow them to be unfunded, the worse those roads get and the more it costs to bring them up to speed. The issue is going to be on your agenda here in the next couple of weeks, and I do ask that you pay close attention to that, because it is very important that we pay attention to short-term, long-term as well. So thank you very much for your time. If you have any questions, I'm in the audience.
Thank you, Deb. Further proponents, 1006.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Dick Howard with the Association of Towns and Townships. I just want to say that we support this bill and we want to be part of the solution. So we'd ask for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Howard. Further proponents, 1006.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I won't do a Pankratz and spin my chair around, but I represent and am a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Municipal League and the South Dakota Retailers Association, both of whom are members of the South Dakota Highway Users Conference, and we support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. For the proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Julie Johnson. I come to you today wearing two hats, one with Absolutely Aberdeen and the other is Prairie Vision. Absolutely Aberdeen is a growth initiative begun in our region to grow our region, and Prairie Vision is our regional development arm. We rise in support of 1006. We had the privilege of supporting similar legislation last year and the privilege of participating actively in the entire summer study. What an amazing body of work was generated by the summer study. I am preserving that file for quite a long time. I think that's one of the great legacies of this kind of work at times like this, is amazing research is updated and accumulated all in one place. And I have that file both in hard copy and electronic on my computer, and it's going to stay there for a long time, because it's an amazing resource. This bill would allow that body of work to be continually updated and available to you when you are positioned to make big decisions on this subject, when Congress helps us position four big decisions on this subject as well. Allow me to make two simple footnotes to this issue. One of the severely understated parts of the highway needs are the economic development needs of our road system. We did not get to spend a lot of time on that this summer. DOT does have a program that is severely reduced right now, where it assists industrial parks with their access grants and communities with access grants. They were called diversions in the summer study. I would strongly encourage us not to refer to them as diversions. They're very legitimate road needs. So with that, I'm hoping that sooner rather than later, funding to those programs can be restored by DOT. Just a thought that it may be constructive to look for either representation on this task force from the economic development community, or to actively structure part of this task force to engage some research on that subject as well. And what I'm talking about are, you know, every time a new ethanol plant is built or a new value-added egg processing facility, those typically aren't built on the state's highway trunk system. Those are usually built in some other location, and those are not deals that you can run out and get a loan for. Those are deals that you get the job opportunity and the opportunity to build your economy with those opportunities. But the road part is not part of the structured deal typically, and it's something we have to continue to pay attention to if we want to continue to build our economy as we've done fairly nicely. I would also encourage us to be able to study the short-term highway needs, and I think the way this bill is drafted that it really doesn't specify that, but I know that will be ever present in our minds as we go along this study. I would also ask that we be open to opportunities as they may present themselves throughout the course of this study if you choose to advance this in the legislature, because you never know when Congress is going to give you an opportunity to act, and I would hope that we wouldn't have to wait until the end of the study should Congress give you the opportunity to act. With that, I thank you for your opportunity to talk to you today on this subject, and I'll stand by for any questions you may have.
Appreciate that. Further proponents of 1006. Further proponents of 1006. Seeing none, happen to be any opponents to 1006? Any opponents to 1006? Seeing none, Madam Chair, do you care to have a rebuttal with no?
Yes. Thank you for granting me that latitude, Mr. Vice Chair. I do want to just clarify one thing, just for those of you that are new to the committee and new to the process. The last study that was studying our short term for this past summer was only members of the legislative body. And this is much different in the composition and makeup. And I think it's very important to point out that you are bringing in who's most important here, not just the legislative body, but the users, the people that have paid, that are part of the projects, the construction users, the people that need the money, the townships, the state, the counties, the townships, the municipalities. And then if you look in Section 2, it does specifically state that the task force shall address the following issues, meaning specifically projected long-term issues, meaning state and local highway needs. But more importantly, as we did this, recognizing the fact that the legislative body cannot be the only ones determining these issues that are out there, that we have to have the outside users and the people that are participating in this, meaning contractors and also the cities and counties and municipalities and townships that are having the difficulties funding this. Recognizing that, I think that I want to commend this past summer the recognition that we've found, first of all, that the Department of Transportation did achieve cuts in their budget, but more importantly, we actually found out of that big stack that Julie Johnson was talking about, we recognize there's a lot of opportunity for efficiencies amongst the counties and the townships to combine or maybe utilize resources together, and they will be starting to implement some of these things. So I think we need to recognize further that the townships, the counties, and the state are all recognizing where they can become more efficient amongst the work that they do together on the roads that interjoin and interconnect. Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will close the testifying portion. No opponents, and still got a rebuttal. I got to figure that one out yet. But Matt, you never counter your chair. I've heard that before I came. So we are now going to close to committee questions. Are there any questions of those that testified? Representative Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chair, could you just give us an example of some maybe out-of-the-box ideas that I know you've thought about and have come up at different times that might be used for a new way of funding? Could you do that, or is that...
No. No. Yes, I can.
You want to say no?
Thank you in advance.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Vice Chair, some of the ideas I think that we want to recognize that are not just coming from me. What our Division of Motor Vehicles leader of the PAC out back there in the back room, I think she's still here, Deb Hilmer, brought to the table were a lot of opportunities and ideas that other states are doing, and some of those ideas that other states are looking at. And then what she did was give us the opportunity to review some of those ideas. Was the fuel excise, a sales tax on fuel, the alternative method of utilizing toll roads and privatization of highways, which are, you know, we realize and recognize that's just not an option in South Dakota, but toll roads, privatization of highways and utilizing that as a toll road, fuel excise taxes, sales taxes, vehicle miles traveled, utilizing you know, much like truck drivers do today, that they have to report how many miles that they travel and base it on the number of miles you travel. That was one that Oregon is doing and Washington is looking at. And I'm completely drawing a blank on some other ones here. We looked all the way down through obviously what Julie talked about, not necessarily the diversions, but each of those areas and see how we could become more efficient and how we utilize the highway funds out from those the expenditures that are going out of the highway funds and how we can make sure that they're truly necessary and reap the benefits of the use of highways and counties. So those are just some basic. I would encourage anybody to go back and review the summer study. I think the last meeting was in November, and I think the last meeting does a great job of summarizing it. And I think that would be the easiest way to do is go back to the November 12th or 13th meeting, I can't remember which day it was, and review the summary of the proposal that were brought forth. And if you ever need any of those and have any questions, I think Deb Hill would be great to go to.
Further questions of the proponents? Representative McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I have a question for the chair on the has there been any discussion relative to with the shift to electric cars and the down the road a ways? Could you address some of the opportunities that might present itself in the way of providing for some taxation or revenue coming in when they take their automobiles and plug them in overnight and then run during the day on electric power?
Representative Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Yes, and that's a great refresher in my memory. I'm just thinking of a few things that we did miss, hybrids, electric cars, but there's a ton of alternatively fueled vehicles out there, and currently they are not being taxed, such as electric vehicles, CNG, compressed natural gas, hydrogen vehicles. They currently do not pay any tax at all for that vehicle because they're not utilizing gas. And if you remember, go back in history, for some of those that are sitting in the room, you can remember when they charged a flat fee for a compressed natural gas vehicle or a liquid propane vehicles. I believe it was like $100 to license if you had a liquid propane vehicle. We have to, with those things, we have to go back now and look at that. And those are one of the areas that we did discuss is alternative fuels. And we're going to see a growing number of those types of vehicles out on the road, solar-operated vehicles. I bet there's 11 of them, I think, in South Dakota, solar vehicles. There's 11 of them. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but that's going to continue to grow. And the electric bill, electric car bill that I passed last year, I've had a ton in Sioux Falls that you see now traveling around town utilizing electric operations. So those are some other areas. And we also looked at the agricultural aspect of it. Of course, we have the ethanol industry. You're going to hear more on the ethanol industry. So those are opportunities that we had to look at. But not only that, the dyed diesel fuel in general, and how the agricultural use versus highway use of diesel fuel. So those are all things we did look at. And again, I just highly recommend to go at least review that.
Further questions of the proponents? Representative Ironcloud.
Excuse me, did you say comments on opponents, or is this open discussion from the committee?
Questions of the proponents or opponents. So you can question any of the testifiers that signed in and testified, or the prime sponsor, Representative Ironclad. We will close to committee discussion if you want to hold your comments till then.
Okay, well, I'll have a question to the chair there.
Okay.
This highway study, I understand it's short-term and long-term. And my question is do you see tribal tribes being involved in these studies? Because many of our roads, you know, we are hunters from cross-country, I mean, commercial usage. We're the same. I mean, there's a lot of differences, similarities, but there's a lot of differences. And I just want to... has that come up in committee, or has anybody proposed it or talked about that? Because we're you know, that unique situation that we do have, you know, the state and tribal.
Representative Krebs, you want
to
take? Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. To further clarify, from our summer study, Representative Bradford did a wonderful job representing the tribal area last year, or I should say this last summer, in the study group. And so I think that was a one that you need to recognize, that he did a great job recognizing those facts and representing your area. Second part to that is that if you notice in the bill that there's an opportunity to be to request to be on the committee, because the speaker and the president will appoint two members from each party to be on that. So there'll be a total of four members from the legislative bodies, each chamber, a total of eight. So that would be an opportunity for you, Representative Ironclad, to request to be on that study for that. At the same time, though, making sure that your input is heard to share with the committee members at that time any of your concerns. But Representative Bradford did a wonderful job representing your area.
Follow-up?
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's, I guess the other question I have is being out of the state government or the legislature, you know, other tribes or highway departments outside of this body may be in the future, you know, considered, because I know a lot of people out there in the highway departments and roads have far more expertise or knowledge than I do in regards to roads, and, you know, they see it every day. You know, thank you.
Okay. Further questions of the proponents? Further questions of the proponents? Seeing none, we will close to questions and move to committee discussion and or action. Committee discussion and or action. Representative Street.
Move to pass.
Been moved by Representative Street. Do pass. Seconded by Representative McLaughlin. Further discussion. Further discussion on the do pass motion. Seeing none, we'll have the secretary call the roll on the do pass motion.
Representatives Elliott.
Aye.
Ironclad.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
McLaughlin.
Aye.
Nostrop.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Bercio.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
And Krebs.
Aye.
It's 12-0.
The do pass motion passes 12-0. Madam Chair,
any other comments from the committee? At this time, we will have a meeting on Tuesday, the 26th or 7th. There will be a couple bills that we'll put on the docket. Any other comments from the question or committee? Representative Ironclad.
Oh, thank you. I just had a question or a comment that I wanted to make, bring to light here, and it slipped my mind there. But I have a road in where I serve, and it's the Bennett County Road from Allen to, I believe, 18, and the road is falling apart. And as a result, we have had some accidents, and we have some deaths on that road. And so I really want to, you know, ask for your support and ideas on how we can do with that road, because it's a health hazard, and I believe that road really needs to be looked at and discussed with all the officials involved, tribal and county and state and strength, and this department or this committee here. So I want to talk to Chairwoman Krebs there and see if we can, if there's any way we can help those people that use that road every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ryan Claudette. Take a motion to adjourn.
So
Second.
Representative Streets, no, Steele, getting you guys mixed up. I'm glad you're not sitting together. Representative Steele, motion to adjourn. And Representative Shrimp seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion failed.
Committee members, please leave your books.